Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, November 22nd, 2023. Oh, today is Thursday, November 23rd, 2023. And this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page XV, the forward to the second edition. We're reading the third full paragraph, beginning with the spark that was to flare into the first AA group, ending with of belief in and dependence upon God. We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Sherry Z, reading the text, Susan G, reading page 164, and Kara L is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Sherry M, and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, November 22nd, 2023, is 20,865 or 20865. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,867 or 20867. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Sandy T. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, and thank you for letting me be of service. The steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 9. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 7. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy T. And I will now ask Jan S. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Happy Thursday to everyone. These are our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such won't never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jan S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page XV in the foreword to the second edition, the third full paragraph, beginning with the spark that was to flare into the first AA group, ending with a belief and dependence upon God. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Sherry V to please begin reading.
Good morning, visionaries. Happy Thanksgiving. And I'm Sherry V, recovered in California. And this is XV on the bottom of the foreword to the second edition. The spark that was to flare into the first AA group was struck at Akron, Ohio in June 1935. During a talk between a New York stockbroker and an Akron physician. 6 months earlier, the broker had been relieved of his drink obsession by a sudden spiritual experience following a meeting with an alcoholic friend who had been in contact with the Oxford groups of that day. He had also been greatly helped by the late Dr. William D. Silkworth, a New York specialist in alcoholism, who is now accounted no less than a medical saint by AA members and whose story of the early days of our society appears in the next pages. From this doctor, the broker had learned the grave nature of alcoholism. Though he could not accept all the tenets of the Oxford groups, he was convinced of the need for a moral inventory, confession of personality defects, restitution to those harmed, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of belief in and dependence upon God. Again, Sherry Z, recovered in Los Angeles, and I love this paragraph because it's an overview of what we're going to read of in the next pages and in this book of what's going to happen, and often the Big Book does that. It gives like a summary paragraph and then goes into detail. But this morning, I really want to focus on the words spark and flare, the very first sentence. A spark, according to the definition, is produced by striking together two hard surfaces. The key to that being two, right? You can't create a spark without something else, without another person. And I think about how many Thanksgivings, like, people are alone and suffering and in the disease today. And I pray for them because we got up this morning. I got up even earlier to talk to my 10-step partner because the spark goes into a flare. And what's a flare? A flare is a blaze of light to signal or to light up or to attract attention. So when two people come together in this program, literally rub up against each other, meaning get into the weeds and talk about the steps and work the program, it creates a blaze of light that signals to other and is attractive to others. And I've seen it happen so many times in this room that, you know, two people create a flare and it's attractive to other people. You know, it's like when I work the steps with another human being, and I'm working them again right now and mining as much as for more diamonds, there's light. It's like if I did that by myself, there would be no flare. It would just go into a morass of self-pity, despair, depression. Look how much I suck. What a problem I am. But instead, I work these steps with her and I give these steps away to my sponsees. And together we make this signal that there is recovery here, that there is freedom here. My first sponsor asked me, how free do you want to be? And it brought me to tears because I want to be entirely free, so that I can be a light for other people. So people say to me, what are you doing? And I have to say, I've had that miracle because of God, that people ask me, what are you doing? Why do you look different? How are you always thin? Because I used to go up and down, left and right. And the truth is two people working these steps together. So thank you so much to Bill and Dr. William Silkworth and the Akron physician, to Bill and the Akron physician for creating a spark that has turned into the fire and the flares that is our program. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry Z. All right. We are now going to open the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. When you hear the timer, please finish up your sentence so that we can give others a chance to share. And so I'll take names for the first lineup. If you can please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Barbara
Donica
L. Josie.
I heard Barbara W, I heard Kara L, and that was it.
Susan T.
Bruce E.
Wendy B.
Got you,
Veronica B.
Got you,
Wendy B.
Got you, Wendy.
Nancy J, California.
All righty, got you, Nancy J. So I have Barbara W, Kara L, Susan G. I've got Bruce, Veronica, Wendy B, Nancy J. Did I miss anyone? Okay, then we'll start there. Please give us, again, your last initial also and where you're calling from. So we're going to start with Barbara W, followed by Kara L.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving for everyone. And happy, and also a happy saying Thanksgiving for this day for each person. I just want to share about today is a wonderful day, and every day to me is wonderful in this program. I just want to share about the flame. A flame is a spark, like it was just said, that it's really important at this time. And it's like a light, a fire or a light, and it takes two. And this program takes two people to work it. It takes God and a sponsor and someone else with it, though. But I know God is the first thing that is helping me with the program to want to live this life of compulsive overeating and want to do something about it. Like Harold always say, I learned so much from his speeches, and I only been here 1 year. This month has been 1 year that I've been battling with this disease. But you know, now that I have went through the most of the hard part about it, and I have a food plan to go by, and I'm looking to have a wonderful day with family and friends, and I'm looking to be a light, to be a light. People can say, well, what are you doing? You lost weight. But it's the steps. It's the 12 steps of recovery of this program. And like they say, I don't go over them just one time with my sponsor. I go over them and over them and over them, and I go over them. And I never forget step one every day when I'm driving in my car. I am powerless. And it's helping me to stay spiritually and to be able to keep this program and not to eat insane and compulsive eating is to work the steps. And God is really in my life with this program. He's helping me so much. When I go to my church, people look at me. They look, I can see, look. But, you know, I don't want to be a show-off for anybody. People can see you have something is different about you. You don't have to say anything. You just can walk the walk. And wherever you walk at, somebody going to say something different about you in this 12-step recovery program. And that is what's going on right now. They see a light. A spark is a light that shines. And you can be a help, all of us, to so many people in this program of recovery. It has grown. And I have fell, they said, 7 times with this person. Oh, my goodness. I have relapsed so many times. And here I'm 68 years old. Right now at this point, people say, you're 68, you don't look it. But you know what? It's God. It's my higher power that keeps me sparking every day and keep me fighting this disease and saying that this is not good for me. This is the way I have to go. You know, I had a very bad problem with soda, but God broke that soda addiction. Soda is really bad for me. I couldn't figure out about soda. I used to love to have soda, Pepsi, for an example. But now I've gotten a habit that Pepsi's Coke is a bad, soda is bad for me. And God has gotten me off it. And I am so proud about that. And other things, too, in my life. So I want to thank God for you and you. And I'm going to tell everybody to have a wonderful and a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. from New Jersey. Sorry about that. My timer went nuts. Next up, we have Kara L., followed by Susan G.
Thanks, Stephanie. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I say this a lot, but I do love the forward to the second edition. I love the short synopsis that gives us of the history and you know, a little, and we will still dive in more as we go deeper into the book. But just this first, these names, you know, Silkworth and the Oxford Group, and I'm struck today, you know, Bill, you know, being relieved by a sudden spiritual experience, right?
Gosh.
And my gratitude today for seemingly insignificant things that added up, you know, these the people's lives that crossed, that created events and that led to, you know, my recovery today. I can't even think of all the little events that had to happen to get to where I, you know, where I am today and to where OA is today, you know, Roseanne and Bill and Bob and all the countless others, Dr. Silkworth, you know, Tybo. I mean, there's so many people in our history. And that, for me, reminds me today of a higher power that's working, because I don't think any human could put together all of those events and circumstances that would have led to what I have today. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for, you know, just being present in this program and being today recovered and waking up every morning and saying, you know, God, help me to bring love wherever I go. Show me how to be of service. And that's incredible today that that's the first thought on my mind. I'm grateful that today I got to start with my early morning meeting I have just before this one, and then I get to align with all of you today, and I'm really looking forward to hearing, you know, all of my fellows today and the gratitude of this day. And I think with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Kara L. from Long Beach, California. Next up, Susan G., followed by Bruce.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. Susan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California, just literally a couple of blocks away from Sherry, who starts this off spoke. And I loved Sherry's breakdown of this paragraph, and I'm going to take it on a slightly different path, because others have spoken to the history and different parts of this. The spark that flares at meetings, when we were on before, when we came on earlier, there was that giggle, that laughter, that fun, that friendship, that fellowship, that reminder that here, the spark is set. It's on fire the minute one of us gets on the line, the minute somebody turns their camera on Zoom, and it's that reminder that we're never, ever alone. And I've had a phenomenal physical transformation. You know, I've had off over 100 plus pounds for 24 years. It's incredible. But what's even more incredible was the spiritual awakening. Mine wasn't an experience. It was definitely of the educational variety. And it took years after meeting with many of you, because I just didn't quite think it was for me, and I just didn't want to do it. And if you are new here, if you are suffering, the part that really got to me was I never really understood the grave nature of my food addiction, that was permanent, progressive, and fatal, and how aggressive that progression is. I'm not a girl who would have a little nosh and gain a pound and take it off the next day. Mine was 50, 60, 70 pounds. I never went on a diet and said, oh God, let's just have a little bit, because I couldn't start once I stopped. So today is one of those days. If I fail to plan, I plan to fail. And there's a lot here. Wrap this fellowship around you. There are marathon meetings, all sorts of things going on. Call me if you don't know about them. And then as a newcomer, I would probably have gone, excuse me, to the bottom of this paragraph and thought, moral inventory, confession of personality defects, restitution. Oh, no, no, I am not doing any of that. Well, you're nowhere close to doing any of that. And God has a plan for you. And I always remind myself when I came in and I share with others, you just believe that what you are doing today isn't working. And that's how we come. So I'm around most of the day. My Thanksgiving isn't until tonight. I'm truly, truly grateful for the life I have today, for all my friends on here. I can't wait to see you in January at the OA birthday party. Thank you, Stephanie.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan. I can't wait to see you guys, too. Going to be a party. Come join us. All right. Next up, we have Bruce, followed by Veronica.
All right. I'm Bruce. Thank you. Glad to be on this line here. Very grateful. And the celebration is right now, right? Don't have to wait till later and celebrate right now. So, I'm Bruce. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, and I am very grateful. And like I heard on the line a couple of days yesterday or the day before, what is today? What's today? What's today? Or what, you know, the guy was talking about what's coming up tomorrow, I think he said. Well, it's Thursday. Today's Thursday. Yeah. So I talked to my former sponsor last night, and I called my current sponsor and gave my food plan, and don't have to have all this pressure on me about, you know, what I'm going to eat today, because I already know. Knew it yesterday when I called them and told them. So it's nice not to have this obsession and the compulsion climbing all over me and having to go over there to my daughter's house and white knuckle it. The spark that was to flare into the first AA group was struck at Akron, Ohio in June of 1935. So I love the way he wrote this here, the spark that was to flare was struck. So yeah, he's talking, I think he's got, in one paragraph here, he's got 20 years of history from 1935 to 1955. And he mentions three key people. You know, they're not celebrities. They're just key people in my life and others' lives. The doctor, the stockbroker, and the psychiatrist. And I notice here it says, Bill was relieved of his drink obsession. So what a blessed gift to be relieved of that obsession, to be white-knuckling at every place, every time I go somewhere and everything I do. And I used to really worry about going to somebody's house to eat, because then, you know, what are you going to eat? What are they going to serve? What am I going to, you know? So though he could not, towards the end of that paragraph, though he could not accept all the tenets of the Oxford group, he was convinced of the need for moral inventory. That's one of the six, I guess. Confession of personality defects, restitution to those harmed, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of belief in and dependence upon God. Wow, what a neat list there. And he couldn't accept everything, but he got this part of it. Maybe it was the evangelism that he had a rough time with. I don't know what it was, but he got these out of it. And then he expanded it into the 12 that we have today, 12 steps that we have today. Pretty awesome. And he gives Dr. Silkworth a good
recognition.
Oh, thank you. And I pass.
And what's your last initial, please? I didn't catch it.
Yeah, E in Florida.
Thank you so much. Bruce E in Florida. Next up, we have Veronica, followed by Wendy B. And please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. I'm Veronica B., living in California, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you, Stephanie, for your service. Happy Thursday, everyone. So good to hear my friends on the line. And I am just struck with overwhelming gratitude just reading this paragraph. And for me, what really hit home for me was that Bill was relieved of the obsession to drink. I have been relieved of the obsession to compulsively eat through working these steps and through getting that relationship with a power of my understanding. And it's overwhelming for me, because when I think back to how I used to live, you know, I ate and threw up for 15 years, and I thought I was going to die living that way until I came to you guys in 2009. And I felt that I was so hopeless when I came to Overeaters Anonymous that I felt the spark in the rooms. There was a power in the rooms that I felt for that 1 hour. I did not want to compulsively eat. I did not think about compulsively eating. I really wanted what you guys had, you know, and that was enough for me to keep me coming back. And I kept coming back, and I got a sponsor, and we started working the steps. And, you know, I just came to believe. I came to believe in the power that restored me to sanity. I just came to believe. And, you know, I used to like chase pleasure. I would eat as much dessert as I could, and then I would get rid of it. I would throw up. Or I would just eat as much as high-calorie foods and just throw it up. I was chasing pleasure. I was chasing pleasure. Today I don't chase pleasure. Today I have joy in my life. You don't chase joy. You just feel it internally. And that's the direct result of working these steps. it's a direct result of, you know, today I wake up and I think about, like, how can I be useful today? Who can I help today? How can I make this a better situation? And today I'm going to spend the day with my mom and a lot of family. And my mom has Alzheimer's. And a lot of my family, they haven't accepted my mom's condition. And they get very, they seem very uncomfortable around my mom. And that used to make me uncomfortable. But today I'm just going to love on everybody. You know, I'm just going to let, you know, God demonstrate through me, and I'm just going to trust in God, and I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude, and everyone have a blessed day. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. And before we take our next person, I want to let everybody know where you are. If you're just joining us, we are in the foreword to the second edition. We are on page XV, and we are reading that third paragraph, beginning with the spark that was to flare into the first AA group, ending with of belief in and dependence upon God. All right. Next, we have Wendy B., followed by Nancy J.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And in the reading where it said, though he could not accept all the tenets of the Oxford group, he was convinced of the need for moral inventory, confession of personal defects, restitution of those harmed, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of belief in and dependency upon God. And I was wondering what tenets in the Oxford group that he couldn't accept. And so I did a little bit of research, and what I found was this writing that said, Bill and Bob, together they managed to keep sober and under the umbrella of the Oxford group sought to find other alcoholics to help. Slowly the ideologies grew apart, primarily on the Oxford group's belief that alcoholism was a moral failing. Bill and Bob saw it as a state of insanity rather than a state of sin. And they also found the religious constraints of the Oxford group prohibitive to its membership and adopted a spiritual perspective that allowed the individual to choose their own concept of a higher power. And they decided to separate from the Oxford group, and AA was born. And I just am so grateful for those differences, you know, to see addiction, you know, my addiction as an illness, you know, that I can recover from instead of a sin, you know, that labels me bad and hopeless. And I'm just also grateful that Bill opened up the concept of a higher power, you know, so those who struggle with their concept of God can find help they need to recover. And, you know, I was raised in a church, and it didn't help me with my addictions. You know, I needed the practical directions in this book, you know, in order to get relief and find the help that I needed. And I'm just so grateful that this was started, and I get to be a part of it, and I get to call myself a compulsive overeater, and I get to work this program. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. And next up, we have Nancy J.
Good morning, Nancy J., gratefully recovered here in California. Wow, so grateful to be on the meeting, and thank you for moderating everybody involved in making this meeting happen today. And the last part of the paragraph is what's really speaks to me this morning, is the necessity of the belief in and dependence upon God. I am not a faithful person. I don't like to admit it, but it's just, you know, God blesses me in spite of myself. And oftentimes it's hindsight. I'm like, yeah, thank you. Thank you, higher power. And I have a beautiful sponsor first thing out of her mouth is, thank your higher power. Yeah. Anything positive, thank your higher power. And, but what I do have is 100% understanding of the necessity of that belief. There is no question. Yeah, I'm not faithful in general, but I know that necessity of believing in my higher power, a belief in my God. And every day I ask for God to save my life and to give me what I need to be of service to others and for those in my life to have what they need. And I try not to pray for the outcome. I try to just pray for God to be, you know, their God, their higher power, to give them what they need. I'm grateful that yesterday I was kind of obsessing a little bit about what I was bringing to Thanksgiving dinner today. I'm bringing, you know, green salad, and think about all the things I'm putting in it and how I'm going to pull my bit out before I add this and that. And I was talking to a fellow about it yesterday. You know, bless my heart, I'm a compulsive overeater till the day I die. It's not the food, it's not the salad, it's the people. And this came to me last night in my nightly review. It's the people I'm tripping out about. It's the hugs, it's the awkwardness, it's the seeing the family members that I don't care to see. It's the uncomfortable busy talk. It's not the language of the heart like we do here on this program. It's the lightweight stuff. And that brings me fear. It's all the past Thanksgiving that were disasters, and my overeating, and for years as an adult, I've tried to figure out how to eat as much as possible at Thanksgiving without getting full, because it's so disappointing to get full, or used to be. I didn't want to be full. I wanted to enjoy it, and that's my time. But yeah, I have freedom today, thanks to my higher power, that I'm relieved of that. And yeah, so with that, I'll pass. And have a beautiful, beautiful day, everyone. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy J. from California. And we're going to get another lineup. And I just want to remind everyone that if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please let me know what's your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, and who would like to share.
Betsy H.
Thank
Barbara
you.
W.
Mary W.
Barbara W. from Washington State.
I got you, Barbara. And who was after Barbara?
Mary W.
Mary Lee.
Joan Marie.
Gotcha. And we're going to have to stop there because we're probably going to run out of time. So I've got Betsy H., Barbara W., Mary Lee W., and Joan Marie M. And if you can please let us know where you're calling from. Betsy, you're up first, followed by Barbara W.
Hi, thank you. Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. And this is a great paragraph about the spark flaring into the first AA group, and and it talks about in this paragraph too the grave nature of alcoholism. And I'm just today on this Thanksgiving day, I'm just reminding myself of the grave nature of my compulsive overeating addiction. It's not, you know, for most normal eaters, they can overeat on Thanksgiving and it's no big deal, and they just eat less tomorrow, or you know, they complain about it maybe, or feeling too full, or their pants are tight. But it's kind of like not, the food's really not that big of a deal to them. They're not obsessed with it. But then I am, as a compulsive overeater, and it is, I have a grave illness. It's almost as if, you know, I don't have to be embarrassed about it or ashamed of this addiction. It's similar if I had a lethal allergy to shellfish, let's say, or seafood. You know, I would really, and if I'm going to a holiday gathering where there's a traditionally seafood served, you know, I would really, I wouldn't feel bad about taking care of my health and just making sure that I can be safe and just stay away from that substance that is, causes a life-threatening allergy to me. And it's an emergency, you know, and there's, it's like that with my compulsive overeating. I have to put it first because if I take that first compulsive bite and then I don't know when I'm going to stop. It could be months or years or never. And so I'm just thinking, you know, it's my program is first today. And I'm not a normal eater. I've done so much recreational eating in the past that I kind of can't do recreational eating anymore. I'm more like living life now and being of service. So I'm planning on just being of service today when I visit with family, and then taking breaks to go outside and take a little walk and make calls to my fellow OAs. And we're just looking forward to a good day in recovery and wishing everyone a good day in recovery. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Betsy H. from California. Next up, Barbara W., followed by Mary Lee W. And Barbara, we can't hear you. Star one, please.
Barbara, okay, W. here I am.
Here you are. Thanks.
Barbara W. here from Seattle, Washington. I love history, and it's very dear to my heart to hear the history of this. And know what it has brought me in my life. My parents were unable, they were literally living at the time when the birth of AA came around, and here I am with the privilege of plugging into a 12-step program that I've been in this program for 46 years, and it has taken me on a ride I can't imagine ever taking. And I wouldn't have planned for this. And here I am. In 2 weeks, I'll be 78 years old. And I have gotten the strength and the power of God in me today, that the deepening of my higher power is just uncanny. And the calm and serenity I'm feeling on a daily basis, I wake up and I'm going, it's not like I have to go out and prove to people that I can eat, you know, I'll eat my vegan food and that sort of sets me apart from everybody, and I'll be eating very little and they'll be eating a lot. And like someone said, I have the privilege of getting up and stepping outside, no matter if it's chilly or what, put on my coat and take a walk, take a short walk. This program has given me options, and I get to help. I get to serve others, and I have my vegan food that I'm going to fix this morning and bring to my family's gathering early this afternoon. And the comfort, the ease and comfort that brings is amazing. Nothing I could have planned for or worked on or done. I'll bring my beautiful self to my family and see family members I haven't seen in quite a while, and enjoy their company. And for once in my life, I'm not going to have that problem of, oh, they've got so much more money than I do. No, we're all in our 70s, and it's just, I'm great. We're all great. Probably I am grateful to have lived this long, to see my grandchildren grow. I have twin grandsons that are over 6 feet tall now. And here I am, and I've shrunk to 5'1". Does it matter? Of course not. But I get to see them. I get to give them a big hug. And I'm just grateful that I have a family to go to. I am blessed. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. from Washington. And Mary Lee W., I think you're going to be our last. Sorry, Joan Marie, we're not going to get to you today, so come back tomorrow and share. But Mary Lee W., you're up.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and just day if you're not in the state. My name is Mary Lee W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and restrictor in the state of Colorado. I love the forward to the second edition. It talked about before this, you know, how there was a mushrooming effect. And really in Alcoholics Anonymous, they haven't seen the mushrooming effect with the numbers joining Alcoholics Anonymous that they did during the forward to the second edition. So one of the things that they were doing during that time was really hammering out this solution as outlined in the Big Book. And the Big Book, in my experience, and it doesn't have to work for everybody, and it's not my job to push it on others, but I know that it's worked for me within this deadly, deadly disease. And it's the solution as outlined that really works, and it really worked for these alcoholics. And one thing that, you know, as I read this, is step 12. They, and I believe, and I'm not sure, I'm not a historian, but that when he went into that place that he made this New York stockbroker and an Akron physician, you know, that he made 10 phone calls before he got to be able to make that other phone call, that he got in touch with Dr. Bob. So there's often times that it's like, you know, that obsession hits. When the true obsession hits, I'm eating. Or, you know, the other forms of that. But when that, you know, the obsessive mind hits, it's like, oh, I want to go do something else. But today's just another day around my disease. And so I'm thinking of the importance of step 10. If I'm not on step 10, you know, what is my sponsor asking me to do? If I'm still in the food, that's okay. But there's a solution here that really, really works. And the four absolutes were absolute honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love from the Oxford group. And absolute is a very strong word. So today, like, still, lack of power is my dilemma, but we have a solution that we can turn to. And I'm so grateful because me and my son are going to stay home and cook our abstinent foods. My son is also, we're going to eat pretty clean, but really great food and stay home. And I've invited my family over. And I used to hate the holidays because my family wouldn't show up, or they would show up drunk, or they wouldn't do what I want. And I would just feel this loneliness, as you know. And that's also what the program has given me, that I don't feel that loneliness today. I don't have to control others. If I feel like controlling others, there's things I can do around that. And I don't need to live in this fear that I'm alone or of what other people think. So it's just such a beautiful thing. And that's what I have. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Lee W. from Colorado. Well, it's now time to close the meeting. We're going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Susan G., can you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, I can. Thank you, everyone. Again, Susan G., Recovered Compulsive Overeater, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit,